we'll keep moving on here, and I'm going to turn it over to Gil with the Railroad Commission, and the Railroad Commission will do its overview of the process, and then we'll hear from two other agencies, and then we'll jump right into Q&A here this evening.
Hello, my name is Gil Bujano, and I'm the Assistant Director for the Railroad Commission's Technical Permitting Section in Austin. This is Walter Gwynn, who's the District Director for the Wichita Falls office. His office has jurisdiction over this particular county. And we have Jody Curl, who's the Northern Area Director for our Pipeline Safety Section that also has jurisdiction over this particular county. I think I'm going to move around the front here and try to get a better angle. Thank you. This is a little background on the Railroad Commission itself. We've got three commissioners, and Mr. Carrillo is our chairman now. As I said, my name is Gil Bujano. I've worked for the Railroad Commission for a little over 25 years. I have a petroleum engineering degree from the University of Texas. Before working for the Railroad Commission, I worked for industry. I've worked as a field inspector, an engineer, an assistant director in the district office, an assistant director in Austin. I've worked in the San Antonio office, the Abilene office, the Pampa office, back in Austin about 20 years ago, and in Austin now. So I've been with them for a little while. Next slide. This is the background. We've got over 392,000 oil and gas wells in Texas. The first injection well, and I'm going to give you a background about the underground injection control section of the Railroad Commission. We've got the first injection well was in 1936. We've had a little over 100,000 injection disposal wells in Texas when on the books means at one time or another. We've had them permitted. They may have been plugged now or the permit's been canceled. Of the 100,000, we've got a little over 52,000 that are currently permitted. Next slide. The ROC administers the Class II UIC program in Texas under authority delegated by the EPA. We have a representative here in the office. 20% of our funding comes from the EPA. EPA oversight is ongoing to ensure that the Railroad Commission program is effective. The RRC program must be either equivalent to, but not necessarily identical. Next slide. This is a state map. The red notations are gas wells, and the green are oil wells. And that's kind of the area of interest up here, and you can see it's kind of dominated by gas wells. This is a background of the 160 commercial disposal wells in the general area. I see y'all got three. You might want to leave that slide up just in case y'all need to take a good look at it. Maybe you just go back. Just page back. Oops. Sorry about that. I won't ask you to do that anymore. Well, there you go. Okay, well, Clay County has one, Comanche one, Cook seven, Denton three, ERAF two, Grayson zero, Hamilton two, Hill three, Hood 16, Hamilton one. We got a typo here. Something really is going on there. We'll get that. Jack has 15, Johnson 28, Montague 21, Palo Pinto 10, Parker 15, Somerville 5, Tarrant 4, and Wise 31. Next. Well, I didn't bring a breakdown, but we have 100,000 of them in the state. No, total disposal. Now, we can get that number from you, and you can get it off our website as well. It's not in secret. I just didn't put it in the slide. Well, I'll take the questions afterwards so we can keep the flow going, but hopefully I'll answer it during the process here. The permitting staff that looks over disposal and injection well applications consists of a mixture of four engineers and geologists. We have one engineer supervising the work group, and we've got one engineer supervising the technical permitting section and signs every permit that the Railroad Commission issues, and that engineers me. Next slide. General permitting requirements, we look at the basic usable quality water, notice of a hearing opportunity, area of review, geologic requirements, the surface casing particulars, the production casing particulars, and the packer requirements. Area review, we look at a quarter mile around the well, sometimes a half mile, depending on what the circumstances are. Notice and hearing opportunity is kind of where the Bosque disposal well situation is now. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later. Next slide, please. For new wells, surface casing must be set to the protection depth determined by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and the gentleman over there just went through that presentation. This is called the base of usable quality water. Surface casing is cemented to the surface. Next slide. A notice and hearing, we go to the surface owner, the adjacent landowners, operators within a half mile, a city clerk within the city limits. It's published in the general circulation paper. Protest, affected person who has or will suffer actual injury or economic damages other than a member of the general public, including surface owners and adjoining offset operators. Those are the folks that are required to get notification. Next. Area review. Statewide rules require that an applicant for an injection or disposal well permit examine the data of record for wells that penetrate the proposed injection zone within a quarter mile radius of the proposed well. This is to determine if all abandoned wells have been plugged in a manner that will prevent movement of fluids into the strata other than the authorized injection or disposal zone. So in other words, we want to make sure where the water is put in stays. A permit applicant must sign, excuse me, submit a map showing the location of all wells. Next. A geologic requirements. This part of the permit review verifies the proposed injection zone is adequately isolated by relative impermeable strata to confine injection zones to the proposed zone. Basically what I just said. The authorized injection or disposal strata must be isolated from overlying usable quality water by a sufficient thickness of relative impermeable strata, which is generally considered to be a cumulative total of at least 250 feet of clay or shale. Next slide, please. The first layer of protection is what we would call our surface casing. The second layer would be production casing. And the third layer would be tubing and packing. Next slide. Surface casing, first layer of protection, statewide rule 13, which is you can access that off our website, applies to all railroad commission wells and requires the surface casing be set and cemented through the groundwater to protect it before drilling beyond that depth into deeper formations. So once you hit the usable quality water, drilling stops, casing is run, cemented, then drilling proceeds. Surface casing acts as a protective sleeve through which deeper drilling occurs. Next. Next slide. Well, wait a minute. Requires production casing to be cemented with enough cement to fill 600 feet above the shoe, and the shoe is the ending point of the casing, and any other productive intervals. And that's rule 13. Statewide rule 9, which is accessible off our website, applies to all railroad commission disposal wells, specifically for injection wells. Next slide, please. After drilling inside the surface casing to the target formation, the production casing is set and cemented to isolate the target formation. So we've got the surface casing hole drilled, cemented, or the casing running cemented. We drill to our target zone, we're running production casing in, and we're cementing it to a minimum of 600 foot above the target zone. Statewide Rule 9, which governs injection and disposal wells, specifically disposal, requires 400 to 600 feet of cement at the top of the injection interval to ensure the injection fluids do not escape the permitted interval. So in other words, we're making sure that where the water goes, the water stays. By running bond logs or temperature surveys to increase confidence of the effectiveness of the cement, less vertical cement may be permitted. And I'll elaborate on the next slide. Tubing and packer is the third layer. All newly drilled or converted disposal wells permitted under Rule 9 must be equipped with tubing set on a mechanical packer. And we'll have examples of this as well, unless an exception is granted. We don't normally do that. Pressure observation valves are required on the tubing in each annulus. Those are used to monitor surface conditions. Tubing is slim pipe inserted into the center of the wellbore inside the surface casing and production casing. A packer is a mechanical device that seals the open space, which we call the annulus, between the tubing and the packer. Disposal wells must have a packer within 100 feet of the permitted disposal zone. And what we're trying to do there is to make sure that the water does not come back up the casing and out a potential hole in the casing, but the water stays near where the perforations are, and perforations are holes in the casing that allow the water to migrate into the target formation. Next slide, please. And that's a an example, that was what we would call a packer, and this would be the tubing. Water would come down the tubing and enter the target zone. We were talking about effectiveness of cement. We normally require 4,600 foot of calculated cement. So somebody just does a volumetric calculation and figures out the pore space in the annulus and calculates the amount of cement to fill 600 feet. That would be adequate. If an operator chooses to run a temperature log, which is a tool lower downhole, and it monitors the temperature of the well, and when cement sets up and hardens, it gives off heat, and it detects the extra amount of heat, and that will denote the cement top. If we have at least 250 feet from here to there by temperature survey, we would consider that adequate. A bond log is a tool that would run and emit a sonic wave, and as it goes through the dense cement, it calculates the cement top, and that's a little more reliable. So from a bound log standpoint, we'll accept 100 feet. From a temperature survey standpoint, we'll accept 200 feet. If you have no logs, then we're looking for 400 to 600 foot of calculated top. And this is a requirement for just a routine production well. Next slide, please. Oh, question?
Yeah, just a question. I know what questions
quite yet, but back it up.
Defining, if you will, injection well. Yeah, I would say a great picture there. Can you speak from
that
perspective again? Just give folks a baseline on what it is exactly, what exactly is taking place. And I think your description there, or your diagram, I think is a good visual illustration that you maybe speak to the three layers.
Sure. This is the first layer of protection. This is your tubing. Water is pumped from the surface down this well. And water we would consider to be a waste product. You're going to produce oil and gas and water at the same time. The operator's looking for a way to get rid of the water. And this is one alternative. The water is pumped down the surface, down the tubing, into this target zone. If for some reason the tubing were to fail, then you've got a casing layer here protected with cement. If for some reason that casing, and this is below your usable quality water. Your usable quality water is from this region up. So if you were to have a casing failure here, and another casing failure, then you would have potential contamination with usable quality water. But having three layers of steel in there makes it highly unlikely. So it just reduces the probability of fresh water contamination. Yep, totally. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. Annual monitoring reports must be filed on every injection disposal wells to report activity, status, and of course the status of the well, whether it be shut in, producing. We've got, as I said before, about 52,000 reports are received annually, one for each well, and reviewed by automatic programs and staff. The automatic program will look at the data on the form itself, and if there is a discrepancy with the data reported and what they're permitted to do, then it's evaluated by a staff member. Initial and periodic mechanical integrity tests must be performed to check for leaks. It could be as often as once a year, as minimum as every 5 years. Every time that packer is unseated or moved, the operator is required to run another test. So anytime there's a disturbance in the wellbore, the operator is required to run another test. The commission staff reviews about 15,000 to 18,000 of these tests each year. Next slide, please. Permitting of the Bosque Disposal Sophia number 3. The well application was filed in the statewide Rule 9 for disposal of oil and gas exploration and production, E&P waste, in other words, into the interval between 8,700 feet and 12,750 feet below ground surface. So that's where they want to go with the water. And the usable quality water, I think, before was roughly a little less than 1,400 feet. So you can see there's quite a spread between 8,700 and 1,400 feet. The well application is disposed into the deeper Ellenberger formation, but for our records, it's carried as a Barnett shale well. And next slide, please. The deepest groundwater is at 1,395. The rules require 1,395 of surface casing. This particular well's application came in with 1,475, so roughly 80 feet deeper than the basic usable quality water.
The Ellenberger
is a formation that produces, if it were produced, highly saline water. It is a formation that is able to take additional water. In other words, it's a depleted reservoir. So the water that's being produced from potentially wells in the area and potentially going down the Bossy well will be dumped by tubing or through tubing into this particular formation and will stay beneath the ground. That's the goal. Next slide. You won't be able to see this, but this is basically a copy of the TNRC's letter for the Bossy Sophia number 3, outlining once again the usable quality water. Next slide. This is a copy of the W14 application as was shown earlier, and that's part of the permitting application that was submitted by Bossy. Some of the key things on here are casing information, cementing information. We evaluate this. No application is taken on face value. We have engineers and geologists that review all of that. So just because it may look like this doesn't mean it's accurate, and that's our job to verify. And next slide, please. That's the end. I don't have anything else to say, but we will, as we know, take questions and answers afterward. With that, I'll turn it back over.